What I want to do this evening is to do somewhat of an expository on the verses here that are contained in 17 through 34, mainly to help us understand a particular subject. We notice that Paul begins by telling the people that there's something he doesn't approve of. Notice in verse 17, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Now, what was this coming together that he was talking about? Well, in verse 17, we recognize that it's coming together as the church. This shows that they were functioning as the body of Christ in that particular location when they came together. And the action, the coming together action, was congregational as opposed to individual. In other words, it was not talking about what they did here and there, where they went from day to day. We're talking about something they did when they came together as a church. Now, this, of course, we all understand, I hope we all understand, that the church is not a material building or a place. It is the assembling together of the members of the body in one location coming together to function as the church. Okay? Now, we go on down to verse 20, and we see that when they were talking here about coming together in one place. Now, you noticed we talked this morning about generic authority and so forth, but there's one thing that is specified in here. They came together in one place. And that is what constituted the church, the body, and congregational action. And what was this? Where was this? What? We don't know. We don't know. They met along the river's edge in the brush arbor. They met in homes. They met wherever they, in fact, is they met sometimes in the synagogues because they could find a better audience there. But it is a matter of conjecture where for sure they met. And also, notice that they thought that they were coming together to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, that's an important point. They thought when they came together as the church that they were eating the Lord's Supper. But Paul steps up and says to them, "You can't do it. Each one is taking his own supper ahead of others." And what? Well, Paul's explaining why it wasn't possible for them to eat the Lord's Supper. Note what the problem was. They were taking their own supper first. Now, notice the distinction made between their own supper and the Lord's Supper. They were doing something that they weren't supposed to do. Now, how do we follow this out? And by the way, this particular point is very important in understanding what's taught here in this chapter. Now, what does he say in verse 21? One is hungry, one is drunk. Now, the word hungry here is from the Greek word paneo, which means a craving or urgent need for food or a specific nutrient or lack of food. This is from Thayer's Greek to English Lexicon. The word drunk is from a Greek word methuo, which means to be drunk with wine or be intoxicated. And there again, coming from Thayer's Greek to English Lexicon. Now, What does he say about this? Now listen to it carefully. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Now here we consider houses taken in apposition to when you come together as a church. Houses is from the Greek word oikos, which means a house, a dwelling place, an abode, by metonymy, a household or family. An inhabited, it also describes an inhabited edifice or dwelling. Now, if there is no difference between coming together in their homes, as Paul says, and what they were doing, what did Paul say they could do at home? What did he say they could do at home? Well, let's look here and see. What they could do at home was they could get drunk at home and they could eat at home. Oh, now hold it just a minute. Where'd you come up with an idea like that? Well, I'll tell you where I came up with that idea. I was talking to a liberal preacher in Colorado Springs who spent most of his time talking about the church bowling team scores from the pulpit. But anyway, and he said, oh, you got that all wrong. He says, what Paul says is, you have houses to eat in and to drink in. And I said, no, he said, eat and get drunk. He says, well, that's what that means. I said, what? Well, it became quite apparent that he was of the persuasion that this gave permission to get drunk at home, just as long as you don't do it when you come together as the church. But I turned to scriptures and began to look at this, and I said, now, why would Paul say something like that whenever over in his writing to the brethren in 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, he says that thieves and covetous and drunkards or revilers or extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God, among other places. You'll also notice here the word eat is interesting. Eat comes from a Greek word that means to eat food for the purpose of satisfying hunger. And drink, have you not houses in which to eat and drink? Well, what does it mean to drink? Well, to drink is from pino. That means to use, drink, yeah, pino, which means to have something liquid. Now together, the Greek, you know how they take two words and put them together and then it means something, okay? And here's what it means. To use food and drink to satisfy one's hunger and thirst. Joseph Henry Thayer. That's what the Greek lexicon says. You'll notice that the word drink here is not the same as the word drunk. That's not the word he used. And it has no relationship to intoxicating liquids. The point Paul is making here is that these people were already aware that there was abuse being made of food and drink, but that hunger was to be satisfied in the home and not in the coming together as the church. The church does not function that way. Now, let's see where we are. Oh, verse 22. He says, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Now, let's stop for a moment. When they came together as the church, to satisfy hunger and thirst, what did Paul say that they did? He says, you despised the church of God and shamed those who had nothing. Now, let's suppose that the problem here was that they were getting drunk and gorging themselves with food, and people that had nothing were poor people. They couldn't afford to bring anything. They came to the potluck without a covered dish. And so what he really meant to say was, just be sure to bring enough for everyone so nobody will be shamed. Is that what he said? No. You know what he said. He said, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? That's what he was dealing with. And just as a side note here, disrespectful conduct, whether it be toward God or our brethren, is always wrong, period. And note this, drunkenness is always wrong, period. Now, what Paul did not say was, get drunk at home. Nor did he say, disrespect or shame those that have less when you're at home. Didn't say that. He said, now listen to it, satisfy your hunger and your thirst at home. And someone, well, yeah, okay. But what does he say down in verse 34? Now, I don't want you to feel like I'm leaving things out here. I'm going to preach another lesson on the Lord's Supper and lose the same context. But I want to deal with the context around this now. Verse 34. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Now here we are again, using the word hungry. Same Greek word that we just defined a minute ago. Referring, of course, to physical need for food. And what does Paul say? Paul says, let him eat. Now hold it, just a minute. Let him eat what? Is it the Lord's Supper? He said, no, that's not what he's telling them to eat. No, not at all. He's talking about his own supper. Look at verse 21. What was the problem? They were eating their own supper. And he says, you go eat it at home. Why? Because at home is where you satisfy hunger. That's the place that you're supposed to go. Your purpose is not to observe the Lord's Supper. You are trying to satisfy hunger at home. And that's exactly what you do. Now, expect this next argument because you will run into it. Well, if that's true, that means I can't not eat at your house or at a restaurant. You see how small minds work. We're not talking about whether you eat in my house or I eat in your house. We're talking about what we do at the home or in the home and what we do as the church. And they aren't the same. I have for you on this chart, and I hope you can read it somewhat. Yeah, a little bit. But this and I can't take credit for this because this is something I picked out of Walking by Faith by Roy Cogdell. And in this chart, he pictures for us what we do when we come together as a church and what we do at home. If you look carefully here, you see that a Christian functions in different realms. He works within the realm of the government, civil relationship. He works in relationship to the church, spiritual relationship. In relationship to the community, social relationship, business relationship, economics, and the home. That's our family relationship. We work in each one of those areas. But they don't overlap. They don't overlap. And clearly, we can see in these different realms that eating and drinking are not in the realm of the church. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse 17. The kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking. You know that eating and drinking here are the same words that Paul used over here to describe what you can do at home? That's right. Same words. And they mean the same thing. Describing the satisfaction of hunger and thirst. Now, back to verse 34. Lest you come together. Now, this coming together is as the church. Okay? That's not specified in the text per se, but it's specified by the context. Okay? When you come together as the church, lest you come together for judgment. We all know that when the Bible says judgment, that what it means is condemnation. So what does Paul say? Well, he says when the church functions as a body for the purpose of satisfying hunger and thirst, remember that drunkenness and gluttony were always wrong, but they come together to satisfy hunger and thirst as a social gathering, they're despising the church of God and bringing condemnation on themselves. Now, that may not seem very serious to some people because they don't think there's anything wrong with it. Why, we get together all the time over at the fellowship hall. Oh, now there's another thing we got to talk about. Paul wasn't even dealing with that. They were doing this right there where they normally assembled, wherever it was. But this is what the seriousness is of this. It's not something you can take lightly or just, oh no, no big deal. It's something very serious. Now, what about Acts 20 and verse 11? I don't know how many times I have had to deal with this, but I got to thinking that we might look at it very carefully and see if we can understand it, okay? Now, when Paul had come up, this is when he restored life to a young man who had fallen out third story window. When Paul had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until daybreak, he departed. Now, the contention is that Paul, in the assembly of saints, had a social meal. And that's part of what they were doing there. Well, Acts 20 and verse 7 says, and I want you to look at it, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, it's this coming together, it's the same coming together we have over here in Corinthians, to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. Now, the text says that Paul said he had eaten eaten food. Now, this eaten simply means taking food for nourishment, to eat or to take food, yeah. Now, all we know is that Paul did eat something in this on this occasion, but no proof is rendered that anyone else ate with him. All we know for sure is that he ate himself. Now, notice in the text, this is distinct from broken bread. In, let me think, what is it? Strong's Concordance. Broken bread is used in the New Testament of the breaking of bread or communion. Now, let's look at the text carefully, okay? First of all, Paul preaches till midnight. I know I have been accused of that, but I never preach till midnight. In meetings, I sometimes preach a little bit longer, but anyway. Now, this is the result of him preaching till midnight. A man fell from the third floor window. And he was dead. Paul went down and raised him from the dead. Paul went back up, and once he was upstairs, they observed the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread or communion. Then Paul took nourishment, then he ate food. And then, what did he do? He left. That covers the whole gamut. Right there. The two things are distinct. One means to take nourishment, and one means to observe the Lord's Supper. And that's what he did. Furthermore, notice that they were making provision for him as an apostle and a preacher. He was planning on departing the next day. They were not simply having a social gathering at the expense of the church of the Lord. And by the way, anyone that presumes that the place in Troas was paid for by the church has the obligation of proving it. I don't believe you can do that. The practice was not to do such in the first century. The first century, they met in private homes, and it can be confirmed historically. And so what we have here is no conflict between what Paul taught in Corinthians and what was practiced in Troas. No difference. Now, if you sit and present this to somebody, you're going to hear assertions being made. But if you hear assertions, you demand proof. Because an assertion is just that. It doesn't prove anything. And every assertion that you let slide will make your opponent's argument more plausible to those whom he is trying to influence. Call him to give the proof or give up the assertion. Now, I know that this is not new to some of you, and I welcome your comments. I welcome your questions, and certainly if I have taught something that is an error, I will correct it. But this is what I have found in this context, and I believe every word of it can stand the test. But since I worked so hard on this lesson, I'm going to quit. I am really tired. And I'm going to leave it with you, let you think about it. And remember, I'm not interested, or nor should you be, in what we've always been taught, what we've always thought, what somebody thinks about it. But what do the words mean in context? And I believe that it will stand the test. If not, you'll know about it.